So today I am here to talk about the third pillar, which we feel is so important of our church. It's daily feeding. And it's important not only to our church, it's important to our own life. Now, if you may know me, and if you don't, I'm in the natural kind of in the daily feeding business. I have a small bakery not very far from here, just on the Newton Arch Road. Open 9 to 2, 5 days a week. Close Wednesdays, just to get that out there. And people come in, they're very loyal, they come in every day, and they feed, they get their daily bread, they get their food. I'll tell you a quick story, actually, because we do get some characters in. A couple of weeks ago, this girl came into the shop. I just opened, pulled up the shutter, and, you know, she was in her pajamas and her slippers. And I'm not judging, okay? I'm just saying, painting a wee picture here. So she came in and she had a wee look around. We had stuff out on our counter. And she sort of homed in on this tray. It was like caramel squares, I think it was. Only 50p, folks. All right. So she homed in on this tray. And she pointed right at it. And she said, do you have any of those today? Okay, so I resisted the temptation to be too sarcastic. I thought I did quite well. I went, yeah, we have them. You're pointing at them. So she stared at them for a wee minute, and then she turned to me, and she goes, that's grand. So give me 2 sausage rolls. And that's why I'm going gray. There's nothing deep and spiritual about that wee story, by the way. That's just... Obviously, when we talk about daily feeding, we're talking about feeding on God's word, reading, listening to what he has to say to us, growing in faith and love of Jesus. So Matthew 4:4. So it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, there's the bread reference, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This was actually said at a time when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was starving. And we know that we need food to sustain our bodies, but the Bible tells us that we're more than that. We're actually spirit, soul, and body. We need to prioritize also feeding our soul and our spirit on God's word to strengthen those areas in our life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed, that the life of God is in the word. The word says that God breathed the breath of life into the first man, into Adam in the beginning. The Greek word for this is Zoe. You might have heard of Zoe life. This is God's eternal life. It's spiritual, but it's also physical in us. It's the same life that is found in God's word. And continue what Gary said last week. We are the branches. He is the vine. And this God's life, it flows through the vine. We access it through Christ Jesus. And then we draw on that life through the word. And the result, we bear fruit. And that fruit is this Christ-like quality that we can have of love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But we also get wisdom from reading the word. It strengthens our faith. And there's even physical benefits to our health. In Proverbs 4:22, Solomon wrote, he was writing about God's word and the wisdom, that it's life to those who find them, and health to their body. So if we feed on God's word, we receive all these benefits while growing in a deeper relationship with God, while hearing from God, and also health to our body. I mean, it sounds like a pretty good deal. If we walked into a chemist shop and we could buy this as a bottle, we would have it. If it was for sale and we could say, you can have peace and love and joy and rest, good for you. Every medicine cabinet in the country would have it. We'd all buy it. We'd take it no problem every single day. We can also strengthen our faith. We strengthen our faith by also hearing from the word. Romans 10:17, a well-known verse. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Note that it says hearing the word of God, not heard the word of God. Hearing suggests an ongoing, present tense thing. We must continually hear his word. We can't live off something that we heard 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. It's like the food reference again. If we have a meal someday, or we can't say, well, I'm not going to eat today because I had it last week. No, we want to eat it again. We have to continually hear God's word. We need that word to become alive in our heart. We want it to live it out daily, and we just don't want it to sit in our head. Our faith is strengthened as we reaffirm the promises of God in our life, and we allow God to speak to us through his word. When we're here at church on Sunday, and this is one of our main pillars of our church, and when I hear Andrew preach, I feel encouraged, built up, spiritually refreshed. My faith is strengthened after hearing that word and the good news of the love and grace of Jesus working in our life. But what about midweek? What about when we're out there? Andrew would sometimes say, what happens on that wet Friday afternoon when the burdens of life are on us? If we haven't been feeding daily on his life-giving words and drawing on the life that's in the vine, the distractions and cares of this life can cause us to take our eyes off Jesus. So when troubles, trials happen, we take the burden on ourselves. We end up being stressed, worried, frustrated when we try and rely on our own ability. And Satan doesn't just work on Sundays. He is working every day of the week. And if he strikes and we're relying on one day's food to sustain us, we're going to end up going into the fight malnourished. We need to be in a place where our first response to trouble is to turn to God in prayer and faith, not our last resort after we've tried to figure it all out ourselves. And trials do come. I'm sure we all know it. I walked through a bit of a trial myself about 2 months ago. I had a bit of a health scare. Hard to imagine, I know. But I woke up one night with chest pains, pretty scary, down my arm. I haven't told many people this. And I ended up in A&E that night. I ended up in hospital. Scary stuff. But they let me out. It was fine. But even when I got out, health-wise, in my body, I didn't feel great. But probably worse than that, negative thoughts in my mind, anxious thoughts, thoughts of the future, thoughts that as I look at it now, I'm pretty convinced that they were put there by the enemy. But you know, I thank God that I am at this church, and this church preaches such an amazing message. Because I got here on the first Sunday, and I heard a brilliant message. It was all actually about communion. It was those messages about how we can draw on healing and all that. I was built up so much that Sunday. And then the other pillars we're talking about, John's about to talk about how important it is to have people in our lives that we can call upon, people that are closer to us, like in life groups. And I got great support from people that I have connected with in this church in the past. They came with me, they stood around me, they prayed for me. They came to my house, we took communion together. It was so important. But my response, daily feeding. I had to make sure that I was drawing on the life that I knew was in the Word. I got home, I started going back and listening to sermons on healing, teaching, looking up the Bible, reading, taking it as medicine, because I knew that's where life was. And very soon, I started to feel great again. And maybe more importantly, the anxious thoughts, gone. Amen. Perfect love casts out all fear. There is no room in your mind for these thoughts, for the enemy to get in, if you feed it and fill it with the love and grace of Jesus. That's why it's so important. We must continually feed on it. So important. Satan doesn't want us to do this. He wants us distracted. He wants us busy so that we have no time to spend on this. We all live busy lives. We've got work, family, so many things. There's iPods, television, hundreds of channels, streaming services, Facebook. Don't get me started on Facebook. These things aren't that bad in themselves. Well, maybe apart from Facebook. But when they get in the way of our time with God, they're a problem. We have to resolve to set them aside and feed on the words that bring life. Jesus Christ has the exclusive rights on truth and life. Everything else is a substitution. It's a fake copy. We need to take responsibility for our walk with the Lord. People spend time building up their body with exercise and training. There's all this couch to 5K and do this in 3 months and all that. Imagine the difference in our spiritual life if we spent that time feeding on the life-giving words of Jesus. And when trials come, we're going to be prepared for them. There's many benefits for daily feeding for us, but there's also huge benefits for our church when we corporately walk feeding on the Word of God. In our story of Nehemiah, when they had finished building the wall, if you remember, there's a verse, Nehemiah 6:16, it says, "And when the enemies heard of it, they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." When people come into this church, we want them to encounter Jesus and his love and his grace, because we know that's what changes people. When we invest in all these four pillars, we're all going to be walking closer to God, trusting in him, and it's there we're going to experience rest. And when we rest, God works. And when God works, that's when the exciting stuff's going to happen. And people will know, they will see that God is here. We've already seen it. God has opened doors for us, these connections to these ministries worldwide. It's been amazing. But our heart is that we see more. We want to see more miracles, more healings, more lives changed. Jesus loves us. This is not about feeling guilty either, but condemnation. This is not, oh, if I haven't done it today or next week, then I'm going to feel bad. It doesn't matter if you spend hours doing this or don't do it at all. Jesus loves you regardless. But he does want an intimate relationship with us, and we should want one with him, where we're led daily by the Holy Spirit. We grow in belief and wisdom. So how can we encourage each other to do this? So we've come up with some things to help, to encourage leadership, to encourage everybody to feed daily on his work. So we already do a wee bit of this. We have Grace for Today. That's our daily devotionals written by people around the church. It drops into your email every morning. There's breakfast right there. Read the verse. Look at what's been written. Encouraging words to set you on your day. We have a huge teaching archive from our own church. We have over 300 videos going back like years. And if you miss Sunday, please try and catch up. Don't miss what God is saying to our church, whether you're serving somewhere else or just can't make it. And they are beautifully edited, as you know. Worth watching it just for the edit alone. I personally love listening to stuff. I drive in my car and I can play stuff on my phone or my CD. And we've been blessed with our connections with New Creation Church and Redemption Church. We've been given a whole load of audio material. Some of the stuff you would actually have to pay for, like Joseph Prince, full sermons, not the cut down sort of versions. I think we've got over 40 sermons lined up. 50 or 60 hours worth of stuff. It's brilliant. And then we're going to show you all the worship music that we listen to, show you it in CDs. You can buy it or link it to your computer and fill your house with worship music in the morning. If you want to read, of course, reading the Bible is the most important. There's Bible apps that we have on our own Exchange app, but there's other ones to encourage you to read the Word. We're going to list books for you, books that are just fantastic grace teachers. You'll be able to buy them, and we'll be bringing some into the church. You'll be able to take them away and maybe borrow them. Please bring them back. And there's more to come. There'll be courses that we're going to line up in the future. You'll be able to get stuck into them. All these things, all this material, is for our advantage. Please don't leave it sitting untouched. Invest in daily feeding on the life-giving words of the Lord, and you will not regret it. Thanks for listening.
It's a real blessing this morning to be speaking. I'm here at Exchange Church for over 5 years. And this morning there was a miracle. I had a chat with Andrew for the first time in 5 years. Andrew was warm. He was cold this morning, sorry. I have been fighting for the last 5 years. Andrew's been sneakily turning off the heat halfway through the service. And here we are this morning. I said, Andrew, isn't it so warm? He says, actually, I'm cold. So that is a miracle this morning. So it really is. Why life grips? In Mark 16, verse 15, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I underline the word creature because when I mentioned that to my wife, her first words were, is that a lot of animals? And I was discerning through your eyes of us bringing a whole pile of sheep into the house to preach the gospel. And East Belfast, there might be a few cats and maybe and a few doors organised. But actually from the Amplified version, it says of the whole human race. So Karen, it actually is all humans. So the purpose of, yeah, we have Exchange Church here. And it's time to go out and spread the gospel. And to preach the gospel of grace. And our next slide. Why life grips? There's a few key words that I've been using in the last few weeks. You're loved, you're valued, you're unique, you're accepted. And I've been speaking these words over my family. I have a daughter, Lauren, who was off for a week, a bit stressed. So the blessing was I was able to take time off with her to tell her that she's loved, that she's valued, she's unique, she's accepted. I know for a fact there are people in this church on certain days of the week do not feel some of those words. And by the way, we could have a life group brainstorming session of all the amazing words that God says we are through his word. And we could get it printed up and put her in our houses. And I think that would be a good idea. Wouldn't that be good to have a brainstorming session as one of our life group sessions to actually work just to mull over some of the words that God says that we are. And I was blessed to know that I was able to take time off. And even in the last 2 or 3 weeks, even myself, at times, I haven't felt loved. I haven't felt valued. I felt stressed. I haven't felt unique. I haven't felt accepted. So, why life grips? Feeling, knowing, believing. It's great to know. It's great to believe. And it's also great to feel. I have people tell me, it doesn't matter how you feel. Do you know what? It's good to feel accepted. It's good to feel accepted. It's good to know that you're valued. It's good to know that we, through life groups, can actually build each other up. And that's one of the main reasons why we're having life groups. It's so important. It's so important to get built up in the word, to get built up in the message, and to know and feel and believe some of the words that I will continue to use as we go through this short presentation. The next slide is, again, notice the why life groups. Grace and peace, it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That word knowledge is from the Greek word epignosis. I think I spelled it wrong. And it's about heart experience. And what we get here as a heart experience, wouldn't it be great to take that word and take that message and get it out into the life groups and to start networking these heart experiences in our own homes? It's okay coming to church and getting this amazing life-changing message, but wouldn't it be even wonderful to go out into the community, to bring in grace into our community, into Island McGee, way out in the back of Beyond, isn't that right, William? It would be good to have a whole series of events that allows us to improve our heart experiences. These Bible truths, the truths that actually set you free. And, you know, if we only had one plug in the house to tap into this, a power socket, would our house be absolutely useless? Can you imagine just having one plug in the house? and having to feed off that. It would be a total disaster. So life groups is like an extension socket of the power. We get the message here in Exchange Church, and we go out into the community, and we get to hear the message, the power of God, the words, all the key the Bible verses that we all know and hear about, and we get to hear it through in our own homes and other people's homes, and we get to share. And you know what? It's good to feel uplifted. It's good to feel encouraged. It's good to feel inspired. It's good to feel connected. And that would be another amazing reason why we should have life groups. Yes, a lot of the life groups is going to be themed around the Sunday messages, unveiling all over again the person of Jesus, the gospel of grace. Just to know about that Jesus loves us, even just having a theme message on certain aspects of what was preached on Sunday. The best way to drive out the enemy, the best way to drive out sickness, the best way to drive out lack and depression and oppression and fear, is unveiling all over again the person of Jesus. Isn't that right? Isn't it great getting it here? But isn't it great also to get that message, taking grace into the community? Whether it be monthly, whether it be fortnightly, it could even be weekly. That is still yet to, as an ongoing, wouldn't that be great to have to work out how often we want to have it? Because this is a journey that we're on, and it is very exciting to be a part of it. There will be various theme messages. These are just some possible theme messages. We've heard recently, Marcel had a major message on it, the gift of no condemnation. We've all heard of Martha, the woman caught in adultery. Jesus gave her the gift of no condemnation. If Jesus can do it, so can we. Wouldn't it be great to take that into the community? And let's not forget, at least life groups, we could end up in Lennon McGee for a night. Wouldn't it be great if there was a friend or a guest or somebody in Lennon McGee was curious about what William's doing, having a wee group and having a wee night in Lennon McGee, and they come along to share, and they get to hear about the gift of no condemnation as a theme night. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm sure you can think of somebody to invite to share. Wouldn't it be great to give that gift of no condemnation, not only to your life group, but to develop that where it's our work colleagues? You know, when you speak to your work colleagues, when you give them all the time the gift of no condemnation, but we get used to that. Wouldn't it be great to give the gift of no condemnation to your husbands, to your wives? Andrew, isn't that right? Amen. That would be good. And I'm telling you, I'm determined to make sure that my wife, Carolyn, gets the gift of no condemnation from me. And also, could we do it sort of 50-50? If we could sort of do a wee deal there, that I'd be happy. I am the righteousness of Christ. If that was a theme message, and these are only examples of what we could be doing, wouldn't that be amazing? Isaiah 54, verse 17, and their righteousness came from me, says the Lord. Romans 5, 19 says, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. When my daughter wasn't well in the last couple of weeks, I said, dear Lauren, what are you? And we had rehearsed this, and she said, I am the righteousness of Christ. When she wasn't feeling top notch, when she was feeling down, and I was feeling down, I asked her, Lauren, what are you? And she knew what to say. So if I see you later on in the church, if I'm speaking to maybe Steve McCulloch and I say, Stephen, what are you?
I am the
Amen. If we have a night in our homes just putting a focus on that we are the righteousness of Christ, and whoever is in the area, whoever is popping in to say hello, and they may or may not be at Exchange Church, they get a slice of this. Surely, this will help. Do you think so? And that's what really gets me excited, to know that we can put just some wee verses out there as our theme message. And that all of those theme messages will all come out from various Sundays, and it'll all be organized so that when we have these life groups, there will be something there to unpack, to have interactive conversation around, and somebody will maybe take a lead on it and unpack just some more truths that truly set us free. That's why the life groups, I think, are going to be so important as part of the infrastructure of our church. A healing evening, wouldn't that be awesome? I got a text message this morning from a lady who is a converted Catholic, has now she's born again, saved by the precious blood of Jesus. And I'm not quite sure exactly the church she's currently attending, but she texted me this morning to say that she's been diagnosed with cancer. And straight away I'm going, you know what? This lady could be invited to a healing evening to hear the truths that by Jesus' stripes she is healed. So again, why life groups? Why not take grace into the community? Why not have these theme messages? They will lay, and it says in Mark 16, verse 18, and there's lots of healing messages, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I had the blessing of being in my mother-in-law's house the other week, and in front of her, I offered to give prayer to a lady, and this girl said, yes, I received prayer. I laid hands on her, and there was an amazing move of God in that prayer. And there was heat, and the girl who wasn't overly a religious person just was so amazed. But I did that in front of my mother-in-law. Now, we all know about the mother-in-law experiences. Are we, Andrew? Oh, amen. But I was bold enough to say, would you like some prayer? So I can't wait to have an evening in my home or wherever we decide to have these life groups. They could be in different people's homes. They could move about. It could be like a road show. You never know. It's all to be all sort of worked out. A healing evening where they focus. Wouldn't it also be great to have an event like an exchange church? We have a focus on healing. Bring people into the church. Maybe it starts out in the community. Maybe it starts out with life groups. And we build it up and we have an event here focused on the healing power of Jesus. Would that be good? I think that would be good. Why life groups taking grace into the community? The goodness of God that leads you to repentance. I think that's one of Joel Osteen's favourite verses. And Joel Osteen, I don't know if you're aware of it, he's going to be a bit of a dig this week in the press on Facebook about being too light in the word. Let me tell you, the goodness of God and will lead you to repentance. You know what? You'll never go short with preaching the goodness of God. I'm not that concerned about the strength of the sin is the law. I'm not that concerned about preaching the law. I'm not that concerned about talking about sin. I am so keen to make sure that we as a body of people reach out about the goodness of God and have a life group session just focusing on the goodness of God, because He is good. You know, why life groups, is it big enough? Is there a good enough reason to be a part of it? Is there a good enough reason to sit up and say, I want to have a slice, I want to play my part in that, whatever part that might be, to come along and join and see what we're doing and why we're doing it, and to see the purposes and reasons why we're having these life groups. Because what ultimately happens is, because when I first of all designed this sort of a conversation, a preached presentation, my first words were doing life together, amazing relationships, helping each other, caring for each other, extend that family. We as a body are a family, and I hope people here feel a part of an extended family. Hope they can give us a sense of trust of what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. I even wrote down, helping make exchange the last pit stop before the rapture. How does that sound? I don't think Jesus is coming just yet, but I feel a very long-term sense of dedication and commitment to this church. Why? Because I just love it. I love the message. I love what we're doing. And I really feel so excited about what life groups can do as part of the overall infrastructure of this church. I am hoping the why becomes so big that you'll all absolutely jump at the chance to come and join in and to make this such a special part of your life. Because Exchange Church is a special part of my life. To take it out into far on places called Island McGee. To take it out to, who's from Newton Ards here today? Is anybody from Newton Ards? I know Andrew used to have a great lot of friends from Newton Ards. Where else can we take the grace message? Where else in the community? Dundonald. Would that be good to take the grace out into Dundonald? Money Ray? Ballygan? Any other part of the community where we can take the grace message into the community? What happened to me, I have a picture here of Ryan put up. There's a wee dog. We lost a wee pup, a wee dog, and our house was in bits. And there was lots of tears and lots of crying. And we had a God moment, and we said, let's go and find another dog. We went to the dog's trust. And this wee dog stood out. This wee pup just stood out. And God, and we actually went to the place and said, if this dog's for us, God, you'll give us a wee pup. And this wee pup just stood out. And that was one of the few photographs I took. And God showed me the next day that the grace was all over that wee dog. Because in the background, you'll see the number 5. God was speaking to me. God brought grace into my community through this wee pup. Now, at times, he is an annoying wee runner, let me tell you. Goodness grief, he's a wee runner. You can't catch him at times. But the kids love him, and we just love him. And that was, again, bringing grace into the community. We just love that wee pup. His name is Buddy. And if you're ever up at our house at Life Group, you'll probably meet him. But that was our moment of God bringing grace into our lives through a wee pup. And on the last slide, rest and confidence. I hope you've seen some of the pillars today, or the last sort of the 2 weeks between life groups and investing and daily feed. And we hope that you can rest in the confidence of what we're doing here at Exchange. Have confidence in why we're doing what we're doing and the purposes and plans of Exchange Church and moving forward. And, you know, I find that when I have confidence in what's going on here, it helps me to rest. So rest gives me confidence, and in that confidence, I also find rest. Through the Word, through just the trust and leadership, the trust and everything that we're doing. That's what makes Exchange Church so exciting. Next door, just by as a close, next door, to help us to understand what's next for everybody in the church, we have a table. And in that table, there's information. There's, you know, if you want to update your information to sign up for the Grace for the Day, give us your email address. Life groups will begin on the week beginning the 6th of June. So by writing down your availability, whether it be Wednesdays or Fridays, because life groups really could be on a Sunday afternoon, they could be on a Wednesday night, they could be on a Friday night. It all depends on the availability and on the area and where you're coming from. So it's very important next door, before, just as you're getting your cup of tea, cup of coffee, to take a wee pop over, see what information is there for the Grace for the Day, in terms of the life groups, working out where they're at. We'll let you know as soon as the life groups all sort of form, but as long as it's very important you give us the information so that we can get going. All right, Andrew, that's me done for today. Bless you.
So this week I was working with some business people, and I put up on the screen 86,400. All right, and this is what I said. It's not coming up on the screen, and I don't have a photo of a dog. But I put up on the screen 86,400, and I said, "Imagine right now, you have £86,400 every day to spend." Or is my zip down? Because you've got £86,400 to spend every day. But here's the rules: you've got to spend it. You cannot carry it over, and anything that you don't spend, you lose. All right. You see everyone going, okay, yeah, get it. And then I went, the truth is, you do have 86,400 of something every day, but it's nothing to do with money, it's to do with time, it's seconds in the day, every single day. And here's the rules, you got to spend it, or invest it, you don't get it to carry it over. And if you don't use it, you lose it. I keep wanting to look behind me. Thank you. 86,400. And so here's how I want to leave you today. Thank you to the four guys over the last 2 weeks, okay, who have laid out something really important for this church. Here's what I think. Time matters. And I was reading an article recently by a palliative care nurse called Bronnie Ray, and she's from Down Under. And she wrote a book called The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. And what she did is she dealt with hundreds of people at end-of-life care. And my first reaction was, you know, that's why Jesus came, you know, to heal a lot of those people, but that to the side. I thought, here's a woman who's dealt with hundreds and hundreds of people in palliative care, people who are about to die. And she wrote a book about the five regrets. And it's interesting how they talked about time and how they looked back on their lives and they said, I wish I had done these things differently. It's a very powerful read, and you can get a summary of it online. It was summarized in the Guardian newspaper, and you can go and read it basically for free. But it really challenged me, and I want to challenge you. Over these last, there's going to be lots of stuff coming out now in the next couple of weeks around what we're talking about, but it is over to you. What have we talked about? Sunday mornings matter. This is a place where we encounter the presence of God. When I look around here this morning, I go, you have a look of the people in your life today who need to be in a place where they encounter the presence of Jesus, and you invite them here. It is over to you. This is your church. This is not my ministry. This is the Lord's ministry, and it's your body. It's your family. But Sunday mornings matter, and they matter because we gather together under the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the word of grace, in the presence of the Lord, and there is healing, there is renewal, there is redemption, and there is salvation in this house. And so Sunday mornings matter. I want to encourage you, take it from here. Get yourselves here early on a Sunday. Come prepared, ready to worship, and ready to bring people, and ready to sit under the word so that you're changed. That's your responsibility. I need to go, this is what you do. This is your call to action. This is right now. You've got 86,400 seconds a day. Your time matters. At some point, we will all look down the barrel of our lives and go, what did I spend it on? And when we look and the regrets of people who have run out of time, when we look at those and they echo at us, and it challenges us to go, this matters. So when Phil talked about Sunday mornings in the presence of the Lord, it's over to you, okay? I'm here every Sunday with my family. Why? Because it matters, okay? It matters. I'm committed to being here on a Sunday with my children because it matters, because I want them in the presence of the Lord. We could sit at home today because the sun's shining in Northern Ireland. Wow. Enjoy the summer today, folks, and we'll be business as usual tomorrow. But, you know, we could do that. We go, oh, it'd be great to have a wee day at Ward Park and feed the ducks and go to them, whatever. And you go, that's brilliant, but it'll not change you, okay? And when the rain's battering against your windows on Tuesday, that's where it's really, really important to do what Paul was talking about this morning, which is feed yourself. You know, we have a ton of stuff ready just to make it available to you. Essentially, what I'm going to do is say, here is a banquet of some of the richest spiritual food that you will find today on this earth. Now, go feed yourself. Go for it. Stuff your face with it. Okay, cram in the word. But you go for it, because we're going to provide it, because we believe that the word changes you. And we believe that's only the word of grace. So over to you. Here's your call to action. Go feed and enjoy. Gary talked about how you invest your life. Again, it comes back to what Bronnie Ray was talking about. It really matters. I wonder, as I hurtle towards 43, not round the waist before you look at that. All right. I saw that look from Penny. She's going, oh, he's talking about his waist size. Fat lump. And I know that's what she's thinking. And so, but as I hurtle towards 43, what I realize is this, is that even for my children, I want to show and model to my kids what I invest my life in, and I want to show them what's really important. Okay, because the world, honestly, is pulling at them. I see it as my kids get older, for their heart, their attention, their affection, their love, and their time. And I want to model out as a dad in this place. This is why I invest my life into something that is eternal and something that will last. If you currently do not serve in this church, time to serve, all right? Get stuck in. It is worth it. The kingdom of Jesus and his grace is worth it. Invest your life. And here's what the Lord says. As you invest, you get refreshed. As you pour out, it's the upside down kingdom of God. Pillar number three, invest your life and you will find fulfillment beyond anything else because you are not a compelling enough reason for you to live your life. Do you know that? Because self is a bottomless pit that will never be filled. But we find our life as we pour it out for the sake of Jesus, the sake of his kingdom, and for this amazing gospel of grace. Isn't that right? And the last thing, like John has just said, we will do community. We call them life groups. Okay, we could cell group, whatever you want to call them. We do life groups, okay, because there is something about life. But what it means is that that's the fourth pillar. You can walk in and out of here and we don't get to know you or we don't get to I love doing life with like-minded people. We had a brilliant night last night with our friends from Island McGee. And we need to stop saying that they're from Island McGee. It's not their fault, okay? William and Angela, all right? And it was, do you know what was lovely for us? Just kidding. And you know, what was lovely for us, Penny and I, as we sort of reflected very quickly last night, was actually new friends and like-minded people, like-minded heart, and doing life with people. And you go, gee, that was just lovely. That was just really, really lovely. And I'm really sure they felt the same way. Who knows? But you know what? We had a great night anyway. But the point is, you know, again, it comes down to your call to action. These people are good people. They're like-minded people. So invest your life into loving and being loved. Invest your life into learning how to care for and to be cared for. Learn how to exercise your gift and learn how to show the love and the grace of God in a community of people, which is not just a Sunday morning. These four things I'm calling you to say today, build your life on them. Build your life on them. If you're part of this church, because that's what we're doing, but it's over to you. And so we'll make all the stuff available. We'll keep ramming it home. But I really want you to think about that. I want you to think about what it means for you and what the implications are. But go for it. Grab it with both hands. Because that's what the Lord is saying. As you put, as we put these four things into the ground, we are able to build and receive more people in this church. Because that's what I want. I do not want a glorified home group. What I want is a church that reaches this city, reaches the nation, and reaches beyond. And so we need this platform in order to cope with the people that come. 86,400. Remember that. Remember that and ask yourself. I'm not laying it on heavy. It really struck me this week as when I was dealing with those business people, and with this I'm finished, that as I looked at them, not believers, any of them, and I could see the challenge as we talked about it, just to go, you know, they were complaining about work and bosses and da-da-da. And I said, really? This is your life. This is not your boss's life, it's your life. You've got 80, he's got the same amount of time. You've got the same amount of time every day. What are you spending it for? What are you spending it for? I honestly believe these four things are going to do us the world. You are God.